Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
It's a quaint story there in Genesis 24. Isaac needs a wife, and, well, I think a lot of what we read there in that 24th chapter of Genesis may just be kind of the ordinary custom about how you go out picking a wife for your son, making sure that everything's just right, picking just the right young lady. But, of course, it is not Abraham who is choosing this wife for Isaac. The matter of Isaac's wife is pretty important. So, in fact, it's God himself who does the choosing. Now, it's done through human agency, but there's no doubt about it in the way the story is told. God is the one who's directing the course of events here, and it's important enough that God involves himself in it. We'll find out why. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 30th. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be back.
Why is it that God involves himself in the selection of Isaac's wife, the selection of Rebekah?
Well, that's a great question, and it's really at the heart of this Bible story. And to understand it, perhaps we would want to go back to Genesis 12, in the first verses there, where it sets the stage for really the entire history of Israel and of the Christian church. God calls Abraham to leave his homeland, and he becomes a great nation. And the one in whom all families of the earth shall be blessed. So that's that promise to Abraham that it is through his line that the Messiah, who was first promised to Adam and Eve, would come from Abraham and through his offspring. And so his son Isaac needs a wife because he will continue that line and continue this messianic bloodline. Isaac has to remain in the promised land. As Abraham tells the servant here in this story, he can't go back to the promised land, but he can also not intermarry with the people that they live amongst now, the local Canaanites. So that's how we get to today's Bible story, where the servant is sent to go find a wife. And it's very clear as you read the text that Abraham understands that God in all of this, and he's going to he coaches his servant how to know who the one is for his son to marry. And it's a beautiful story. And tied with that is this whole idea of vocation and service to others and how God uses that to bring about his promises and his will in the world. And how he provides for us things like daily bread and spouses. So there's a lot in here to talk about and a great story to kick off the summer series of growing in Christ.
Well, it's going to be important for us, all, as you mentioned, all through the summer, that because the framework for a lot of these Sunday school lessons is the Scripture's doctrine of vocation, that God God gives us positions, places in life wherein he brings neighbors in need to us so that we live before God in faith and before our neighbor in love, all these vocations. You mentioned just a few. How does that work out here? We've got a servant. We've got Father Abraham. We've got Isaac, who is in need of a wife. We've got a prospective wife sitting there, as we later learn, kind of just waiting for the opportunity to be found. How does that all work in this story?
Well, it works in a grand way, and because we have this line of God's salvation running through this family of Abraham, all of these things work together, not just for Abraham and for his son to have a wife and for him to be a great nation, but they work together for you and I and for every person born on this earth. Because it is all about bringing us a Savior. But we see in this, in terms of vocation and serving our neighbor and, everyday needs and opportunities to serve, examples that we can learn from. So you hear, you have Abraham, who is this patriarch. He is obviously a man of means. He has his own servants, and he has this trusted servant. And we know that because he trusts the servant so much to send him to go find the wife for his son. And Abraham knows what's at stake here. So he sends the servant, and the servant, in his vocation as a servant, Abraham is his neighbor, and he serves his neighbor by carrying out the work that's been given him to do, whatever that is that he's called upon in his role as servant. And in this case, he serves Abraham by carrying out his instructions, going back to the homeland to find a wife, following specifically what Abraham says, that he will find among the women who come to the wells, to the water source in the afternoons, which was customary. And there you have another example of vocation, that the women of the homes daily did this in service to their family, to their husbands, their children, came and got water for the family's needs of drinking, bathing, and whatever else. And so using what was customary in people's vocations, God arranged for the servant of Abraham to come in contact with the one who would be the chosen one to be Isaac's wife. And he tells him, Abraham instructs him, that you will see these women coming out to draw water, and he says, you'll know the one that you should pick, because she will say, please let down your jar please let down your jar that I may drink, and she'll say, drink and I will water your camels. And he says, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant. So he's going to know her because she's willing to fill his jar. She's willing to water his camels that he's brought along. That'll be a sign to him. And in that, she serves the servant, a total stranger, but in that moment, the neighbor in her midst, the neighbor in need, and she's one who can fill his need with supplying water. And through all of that, God is signaling, of course, to the servant, ultimately to Abraham and Isaac, that this will be the woman. And so verse 21 says, the man gazes at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. And as the camels are finished drinking, he takes out a gold ring and two bracelets for her arms, all gold. And really, these are bridal gifts, and she doesn't know that yet. But he says, please tell me whose daughter you are. And, you know, checking out who she is. Is there room for you in your father's house for us to spend the night? So he's asking to stay. And she says, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. And that's significant because Nahor is the brother of Abraham. And then she says, very, you know, matter-of-factly, we have plenty of straw and fodder and room to spend the night. So again, to this stranger who needs a place to stay, she serves him by saying, yes, we have a place for you. You can come. And so now the servant, who understood his task and who prayed before he left, now bows his head and worships God and says, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen. And then the girl runs, tells her family. So that's the first part of the story and how God brings them together through, really, vocation.
It's remarkable, the prayer that he prays, Abraham's servant, he sets it between two bookends about the steadfast love that God will show to Abraham, his master. He starts it that way, and then he ends and he says, when you have, you know, brought this young lady here, and by this sign that I am asking for, shown me who should be the wife, then I will know that you've shown steadfast love to my master Abraham. There's got to be more than just God loves Abraham in that. This seems to be, even in the mind of this servant, part and parcel to the covenant that God had made with Abraham, which is bigger than just any given wife or any one generation.
Yes, that's right. This story is much bigger than just an example of a wife being found for a family or a generation. It's more than just an example of serving one's neighbor. Abraham and his servant, it's clear that the servant was a believing, God-fearing man, worshiping the same God, trusting in him, knowing the promises of the Old Testament, and turning to God when given the command by his master to go do this, knowing on whom he would lean and on whom would direct him and make his way certain and sure, and that is the one true God. He understood what his task was and that this was a task beyond just Abraham needing a wife for his son, that this was part of the promise and part of God's plan. And he understands and believes that God is steadfast in his love, in his protection, in his providence. And you're right, he bookends that, and he knows that this is bigger than just them and this moment in time, and certainly it is, it was.
I don't know the local customs. We'll talk about it when we come back from this break, but I don't think it would have been unusual for a man of means like Abraham to go and just have a servant pick out a wife from among people of his own family, and then bring this wife back and say, here you go, son, here's your wife. Certainly unusual for the way we do marriage nowadays, but it does also highlight how it is that what is happening here is the keeping of the greater promise, a far greater promise than merely Abraham or Isaac or even Rebecca, but the promise of a Savior. And we'll talk about that after this. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
The essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest, editor of Witness Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson Genesis 24, at least the beginning part of the story of Rebecca serving at the well. And through her service, it is an indication to Abraham's servant that this is indeed the young woman that God has chosen to be a wife for Isaac. I want to talk a little bit about, that's not part of the story proper here. It comes a little bit later. Isaac doesn't even get into the picture here, Pam, until a whole chapter later. And all this is happening without his say, without his, he doesn't even get to tell the servant what he likes in a girl, kind of a thing. It is, all the considerations seem to be outside of Isaac's control, and it is simply, and I don't know that it was an unusual way to pick out a wife, but it certainly is in the way the story's told, not Isaac's doing. This is a totally arranged marriage, arranged by God himself. Talk about that.
Well, that's right, and even her parents understand that verse 50, which isn't part of the lesson, but they simply answer and say, "The thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah's before you. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." So even they get that, and then at the end of the chapter, it says, you know, Isaac is returning from where he was, and he goes out, and he sees her, and she sees him, and that, you know, finally they meet. But it's all been done. You're right. Totally arranged. Quite different from today's marriage practice, at least in Western culture. I think there are societies and cultures in the world where still marriages are arranged and chosen, and not so much emphasis on romance and love and courtship and all of those things. But the point here isn't how we do these things customarily. The point is that this marriage was more than just a marriage of these two people. This was part of the promise of salvation, the thread of salvation that God was weaving through very real people and lives and events to bring about what he had promised long ago in the garden to the first couple, Adam and Eve, after their sin, and their sin bringing sin to the whole world. This was all about making good on that promise, and God does these things, and we see it over and over again through real means, real people, real events, real things that you and I and our children who we teach can understand and fathom, at least to some degree, to see that God is a real God. He works in time and space to bring about our salvation, and that salvation ultimately, the heir of Isaac would weave on until finally, born in Bethlehem, would be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, descendant of Abraham, Isaac, David, and others. Here for us, God-man, who would suffer and die for us so that we might live with him in eternity. This was all by intention and very carefully carried out. And yet, through ordinary people doing their ordinary things that were there given them to do in their vocations and their daily callings in life, God brought about salvation. This is one more wonderful example of that.
I don't think we can say on the basis of any clear word of Scripture that God picks out our spouses for us. I think it's probably more likely that while all of this is certainly under God's direction and providence, he doesn't have that one person waiting for you that you have to somehow find. It would be a terrible burden to root through all the people to finally find your soulmate and even then never be sure of it. But most certainly on the basis of Scripture, Pam, can't we talk about how God does provide a wife, yeah, or a husband and children and family and all of these things, if not particular people to be those things? He certainly does provide them. And once you have your husband, I know you've got one, I saw him the other day, he's yours, and you can be certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is supposed to be your husband.
Well, that's right. And, you know, you're right, we can't say that God has picked one sole person. You know, Scripture doesn't tell us that. And I think we live in Christian freedom, and what we do know, that God promises to bless us because he loves us, and he's already given us that greatest blessing in Christ. He promises to richly and daily provide all that we need in this body and life. We need a spouse. He provides that, and he gives that to us in ways through life, through the encounters we have with people. And I think any of us who are married can look back and see how through our lives and the directions we chose in Christian freedom brought us to meeting the one who would become our spouse. And we decided with them that we would become man and wife. And in that, God blesses it. That's what he promises to do. He blesses our marriages. He blesses it with children. He provides for us. And we look to him for blessing, for strength when days are tough to be married, when feelings of love and romance aren't so great, or maybe even all but gone. That's in a Christian marriage where we lean on our Lord, clinging to him and his promises to bless us in our marriages. And he is at work. He promises to be, but I think you're right. It's not one of these, this one gets this one. He doesn't handpick our spouses and cause us this fear, did I pick the right one? Or the young man or the young woman in agony, is he the one for me? Is he the one for me? What if I choose wrong? We don't live in that kind of fear. We live in the freedom of the gospel and in the blessings of a God who loves us and who promises to bless us. And that is a wonderful way to live and a wonderful thing to know when the days are long and hard and the trials and temptations beset us in our marriages. God is there for us with all that he is and has promised to give us. And he will sustain us and he will strengthen us and he will renew our love for our spouses and our love for him. And that's wonderful.
For Abraham and this crew of people, his family, they're living on the before side of all these promises being kept. And Abraham learns through that that story in Genesis 22 that God does indeed provide. And it seems from that point on, Abraham's pretty well convinced that God does provide. That's reiterated by his servant here. It is confirmed by what God does by picking out this wife for his son Isaac. We live on the other side of that promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Is there any reason for us to doubt ever that because God has provided the greatest of our needs in his son Jesus Christ, our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, that he won't provide everything we need? Kind of learning that Abraham lesson in our lives.
You're right. There is never a reason to doubt. We have all the evidence of Scripture all the way back to the beginning of time of God making good on that promise. And we have the evidence in our own lives. And that is what is so liberating for us as we go about our lives. God's got us covered. I always say this, you know, to my kids, God's got us covered. He covered us so much. We're covered for eternity. We have forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's the big thing. He's taken care of that with his son, Christ. He will also, as he says, take care of those daily needs. And he talks about, consider the lilies and the birds in the field. He will provide for us. And so we don't have to worry, and we don't have to crawl over people and crush them and step on them, because we have to make sure we get what we need to have, or we have to get what our family needs. God promises, and we can trust that. And in that trust, then, we can look after our neighbor, knowing that God will look after us, and he'll do it through other neighbors. And that neighbor may be the employer who gives us a job that brings us a salary. That neighbor may be the grocer who displays the food for us and has it in stock when we need to buy it for our family. Our neighbor may be that mechanic who fixes our car when it's broken. All of those are ways that God provides for us and frees us then to provide for others with our gifts and abilities as we can. And our neighbors are first our family, our children, our spouses who have need of us and our service for them. Our neighbors are the people who live next door, who we worship with, who we go to school with, who we work with, our bosses, our underlings, the people that God brings into our lives each day. And that is the beauty of God's promise to richly and daily provide all that we need for this body and life. He does it, and he frees us then to serve our neighbor who has a need.
We base our conversations every week with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on the Sunday School curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. It is what it says it is. As you can see from our conversation today, a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum pointing from these Old Testament stories to their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ and his work of our salvation on the cross. Find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org, or order a free sample from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll be talking with Pam about Jacob's death and burial. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon. Pastor Joshua Hayes will join us. What does it mean to confess the faith? There are people who say we shouldn't have any creed or confession other than the Bible. But, of course, that's an impossible position to hold. When we read and study and learn Scripture, it brings forth from us a repetition of what Scripture says, which is all a creed or a confession really is, repeating what God himself has said. We'll talk about that in hour two of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues Etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint